Committee, House Committee on Business and Labor to order. Just a couple opening remarks here. My good friend Alan Brown, when I was in 2005, I asked for some time on a bill, and he very professionally answered, "Representative, there's a time to talk, and there's a time to vote. Today it's time to vote." And it's always stuck in my brain. These are the first bills we've had this year, and I ask all of you to come prepared and not make this a... If you want something on the record for question and answer, but this is not the place to come and figure out what's in the bill. This is the place to come and get things on the record and vote. That being said, I hope we're all prepared, and some of you are paperless. Remember to bring your... little computers, and I'm just going to go right ahead and open up a hearing on House Bill 2298. Lisa, you want to talk to us about that?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Committee members, House Bill 2298 clarifies that an employee must be granted a leave of absence by their employer for the purpose of performing active state service as ordered by the Adjutant General. It also changes the maximum amount of donated leave that a qualified employee can receive from the employee's base salary to their total compensation. It also requires state and local governments to calculate total compensation and outlines the requirements in doing the calculation. The measure applies to leaves of absence that commence on or after the measure's effective date. There is a no revenue impact, and we are still waiting for the fiscal impact on the measure.
What's
that? AOC.
Okay, thank you.
Or DOC, sorry.
Is it AOC or DOC?
DOC.
Okay. All right, I'd call Mary Botkin, Alan Humphrey, and Sharon Humphrey. Oh, I'm sorry, Sherry. Forgive me.
We are on 2298.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, I'm Mary Botkin with the American Federation of State, County, Municipal Employees. And Sherry Humphrey contacted us some time ago about introducing this bill. Let me just give you a little quick background, and then I'm going to step away because we have folks from Pendleton that have driven in today to testify on the bill, so I will just step aside and let them talk. But just quickly, in the way of background, in the Department of Corrections, we probably have more active members deployed in military service in Iraq and Afghanistan than in any other agency we represent. What this is, the lack of adequate compensation for the folks as they perform their active duty has become an increasing problem for them economically. And this bill doesn't fix the problem, but it helps the problem. It actually includes the full compensation as a way of calculating their salary so that when they're deployed, they can draw out of the leave bank, their family members can draw out of the leave bank to help offset the loss in income. The leave bank is created through voluntary contributions of paid leave by other employees. So if one of you wanted to donate 8 hours of your paid leave time, it would come off of your leave records, but it would go into the leave bank, and then our active members who are deployed under the National Guard, their family members could draw out of that to help offset some of the economic losses that they suffer as a result of serving this country. And we think this is a great bill. It just changes how the base salary is calculated, and we think it's a good change. And I'm going to step aside and allow Rich Young to come up and take my place, and I will stay in the hearing room, obviously. And if you have any questions that these good folks are unable to answer, I will try to do that.
And just for the record, Mary, yeah, I was going to call. But nobody comes up till the chair calls them up.
Oh,
so that's the way it works in this place, and that's the way it's going to continue to work. Mary, if you want to take your seat, Mr. Young's welcome to come on up. Might as well start right out of the gate with, and members, if a question comes into your brain, I don't want to try to stifle questioning, but please read the bill and ask the questions before you come to move things along. And one more thing, we will not be working this bill today. We do not have a fiscal report, so all we're going to be doing is a public hearing today. So whoever wants to go first, just go right ahead.
My name is Alan Humphrey. I started in the military in November 18, 1993. Started with Department of Corrections roughly January 14th, around 2000. By that time, I already had two deployments under my belt, one to Operation Desert Shield, Desert Storm. I then did a tour in Korea for a year, remote assignment.
Sorry.
I started out in food service as a food service coordinator with the Department of Corrections. I then moved to a correctional officer. I went to my first Iraqi freedom deployment in 2004. My base pay from the state was roughly $2,800 at that time. My base pay for the military was about $1,700. Me and my wife went into severe debt as of it, and are right now still trying to pay it off. I'm due to deploy June of this year, again back to Iraq, and when we asked for help from AFSCME last time, the way it was written was it wasn't on base pay, it was actually earned. But what you don't realize is the military on the first pays you for something, and then on the 15th they take it away. So I get money for food, but yet they take it out because I'm eating over there in Iraq. So that was all calculated in, and so during that year and a half deployment I got a total of $13. And I was losing roughly about, with my overtime, I was averaging 40 to 60 hours of overtime a month. I was losing around $1,500 to $2,000 a month. And that's all I can say right now.
Well, that's quite a bit, Mr. Young. Before we move on, I just want to, and I think I can speak on behalf of this committee, we'd just like to thank you for your service, not in the Department of Corrections, but especially in your service defending this country. And we're all eternally grateful for that. And we're going to go out of our way in this legislature to try to, not just this bill, but I imagine several others, to try to alleviate some of that pain, that suffering, and try and, I don't think we can rightfully or wholly pay you back, but we definitely recognize the sacrifices you and your families make on behalf of this country. So, Ms. Humphrey, if you feel like saying something, you can. I'm not going to. If you want to, go ahead. I think your presence says it all. You have to identify yourself for the record.
My name is Sherry Humphrey, and sorry.
That's okay.
When he left the first time, I had a daycare business, and I was doing pretty good. And we had two small children, and without him, I couldn't continue with the daycare business. And so I had to quit that. And at the same time, I was going to school while I was doing daycare. And I applied for the nursing program at Columbia Basin Community College in Tri-Cities. And I was put on a waiting list. And so right after he got deployed, they called me up and they said, you made it into the class. And so I had to turn it down because I couldn't go to school full time with two young children. I had one in kindergarten and one in preschool. And so that just kind of messed me up too, and our finances. And now I'm getting ready to go into the teaching program, and he's getting deployed, but our children are older. And so they're in school, and they'll be in school at the same time that I'll be in school, so I'll be more able to go to school and finish getting my college education. And it just set us back quite a bit. And we're still trying to recuperate from the first deployment, and let alone the second deployment and now the third deployment.
Well, once again, thank you very much, and I think you talked to part of this equation that we really don't probably hear enough about.
Mm-hmm.
It is covered in the press, but probably not the way it should be. Okay, and once again, thank you for everything you're doing, and good luck with all that education. Mr. Young, you want to add to this?
Yes. Mr. Chair, committees of the members of the committee. My name is Rich Young. I too work for the Oregon Department of Corrections. I've been there for about 6 years now. Along with that, I've been in the Navy Reserves for the last 23 and a half years. I've gone through several deployments. Unlike a lot of the members we have over in the countries abroad right now, I've attained a higher rank in the military as an E-7. When last time I went to Iraq, it was an E-6 over 20 years, which sounds a pretty substantial amount of money. Base pay for E-6 over 20 was about $2,900 a month. When I left over there, I was making about $3,200 a month, not counting the overtime. On the average, a typical loss for me was roughly about $1,500 a month out of the pay for my wife and my kids, take care of all the bills. Financial hardships, it was pretty difficult. I'm here basically in support of House Bill 2298, and the reason is my job over in Iraq was on convoy security. Over 150 missions on the roads of Iraq over in the Al-Anbar province, listening to other members of the armed services talk about their hardships back home. A lot of E-2, E-3, E-4s who, they were just having a hard time. They'd call their wives, and their wives would be telling them how they're having a hard time making the next mortgage payment or the next car payment. A lot of members that I know of had their houses foreclosed, cars repossessed. Now their mind, instead of being on the mission, as far as on the rack, you're on the roads, and you have to look for the IEDs or whatever might be on the road that's how they're trying to hurt you. Their mind's back home because they're worried about their family, rightfully so. And as Ms. Bakken mentioned, this won't solve the problem, but it will help the problem as far as the to help supplement the service members' pay as far as out the the time bank. It's not going to, it's not going to solve everything, but it will help a lot. And I fully believe it's a good bill, and it's the least we can do for our service members that are fighting for the United States freedom. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree with you. It is a good bill. And before I open it to questions, folks, we're here to hear the substance and the merits and demerits of this bill. We're not here to voice our opinions on the war or anything like that. I have my opinions, but let's keep focused on why we're here today and how we can. I support this bill. If folks don't, that's fine. They can make up their own mind. But let's keep it focused on the substance of this bill. So questions, comments? Representative Esquivel.
Yes, I'm curious. And when I was in the Navy, we had clipper ships. It's been a while ago. did we, Chief, when you get deployed, do they still have tax-free, non-taxable, when you're in a combat zone, do you get hazardous duty pay, combat zone, combat pay, and does your family not get an allocation while you're on active duty to live off base? I mean, that's...
Yes and no.
Yes and no. I like those questions. Interesting answer, Chief.
If I was full-time active duty, yes. Being in reserves, my family, my wife and my kids, they have their life as it is, and they won't change as far as, my wife taking care of the kids, make sure they get to school, so they live off base. At the time, my wife didn't work, and as the Humphreys, my wife and I, we had our youngest son was 3 years old at the time, and so she was a stay-at-home mom taking care of the youngest, and so they were basically living off the pay I received. The hazard duty pay at the time was $250 a month, and that was it. It was just a base pay for everybody over in a combat zone. The tax-free part of it was just federal tax. your state tax and whatever else you had in there still comes out. And so the $2,900 is actually, you know, comes out to about a...
-9%.
Minus 9%, exactly. Yeah. So
in other words, the state hasn't really helped you out as a active person that's on active duty, because I would assume that as soon as you went to active duty, and this is just naivety on my part, being a veteran myself, I understand, you know, what you get. Mm-hmm. But what you're telling me is that there's strings attached where the state of Oregon's taking a chunk out of your pay, as well as you do not get the same benefits as any active duty sailor?
The benefits are the same. They still get the use of a base as far as medical, dental. Once again, with that, too, is that now TRICARE becomes the primary medical dental. And so even though the state maintains medical and dental for the family, it's secondary. So in order for my family to get medical and dental on TRICARE, they would have to, where we live down in Tri-Cities, they would have to go up to Spokane or over to Walla Walla, and instead of just going right down the road to our family doctor.
You want to add anything to this, sir?
Yes. Speaking on TRICARE, when I went to Iraqi Freedom, the state did not pass that where if you were a state employee, your medical would be covered the whole tour. I lost my state medical when I got activated. I got stuck with TRICARE. Well, for me living in Hermiston, the only TRICARE for my family is usually on the I-5 corridor. No one in Hermiston takes TRICARE. And with TRICARE, to get dental and all the other stuff, you have to pay out of your military pay to get TRICARE. It's not free.
Well, it's not part of the package. All right, any more questions or comments to these good people before I cut them loose? Once again, thanks for your service. I can't say it enough, and I know I speak for everybody up here.
Yeah.
So, and good luck to you. And we will attempt to move this bill as soon as we have a fiscal. And that's just a bunch of paperwork, administrative stuff. So thank you for coming. Unless you have anything else you want to add today. All righty then.
All right, thank you.
And have
thank
a safe trip
you.
Home,
thank
too.
Thank
oh,
you.
Forgive me.
No,
wait
no,
a second.
After they leave.
Okay.
I just had a question maybe for Mary.
Okay. And while they're getting up, Melissa, you want to come up to Melissa Unger, please? And Mary Bakken, you want to come back up here, please? Representative Thatcher, you have a question, Ms. Bakken?
Yes, I do. I'm just wondering if any of these positions, you know, of AFSCME personnel are ever seasonal. In other words, is it busier in the winter for some municipalities or some positions, or winter, or you know, whatever? I'm just wondering if any of them are seasonal, or are they pretty steady throughout the year as far as hours put in?
Mr. Chair, Representative Thatcher, as far as I know, these are all pretty steady positions. I've not heard from folks who would be considered seasonal workers on this bill.
Okay. Forgive me. I was asking.
Which was
that
why
simply
we tried to do the definitions similar to the definitions that we use in PERS, so that there's some consistency with the definitions on how you do it.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure, because if somebody came in spring, let's say that was the busy time, and they're putting in all kinds of overtime that they wouldn't over the rest of the year, and that that overtime would be exceptionally high if timing was right on being deployed or whatever.
All right.
But if you're steady, I guess that doesn't apply. Yeah. Thank you.
Melissa, go ahead, please.
Thank you very much, Chair Schaffler, members of the committee. My name is Melissa Unger, and I'm with the Service Employees International Union, Local 503. And I'm really here just to register our support for this bill. We think it's a great bill, and we're happy to be able to support AFSCME and thank them for introducing it.
Thank you. Any further questions of this panel?
Okay. Mr. Chair,
Representative Cameron, please.
Just to clarify, we heard that this is a fund that is paid into voluntarily by other employees, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Representative Cameron, the way this works is if you are a state employee, or, you know, if you're a public employee, then you can voluntarily donate part of your paid leave accruals to the fund. So that, I mean, we could probably argue that in some cases you're actually saving money, because senior employees who would actually draw at a higher level of vacation pay could, in theory, be donating their paid vacation time to a, you know, first year, second year employee who is earning considerably less. But the reality is, this is a pool. It is, you know, it's a pool that we put together so that there was some kind of economic relief for these families that are just facing economic devastation. And as these folks pointed out, our folks in rural Oregon are not only being deployed at higher numbers, but their access to reasonable military benefits are just not, even with Umatilla Depot being right there. I mean, you would think there would be more available to them, and it's just not. So
thank you, Mr.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Alrighty then. Any more questions? I can bring them all back up here if we have some. Okay. Well, seeing none, I'm going to close the hearing on House Bill 2298, and I'm going to open the public hearing on House Bill 2198. And we have a list. Good. I think I can call Teresa Miller up. I'm pretty sure she's on the list. Teresa, whenever you're ready.
Okay. Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Teresa Miller, and I'm currently the acting administrator for the insurance division at the Department of Consumer and Business Services. And I'm here today to testify in support of House Bill 2198, which eliminates the exemption from continuing education requirements for retired life insurance agents servicing existing life insurance policies. Oregon law provides that the Department of Consumer and Business Services establish continuing education requirements for resident insurance agents. And current law contains a fairly narrow exemption for certain life agents who essentially meet four criteria. First, they're only licensed to transact life insurance. Second, they're at least 58 years of age or older. Third, they have at least 10 years of being licensed as a life insurance agent. And fourth, on an ongoing basis at least, they will only be servicing existing policies. For those individuals who request an exemption and fall into those categories, they're exempt from continuing education requirements. The purpose of continuing education requirements really is to protect consumers by ensuring that insurance agents possess and maintain the necessary expertise to advise consumers and provide them with suitable products. Because life insurance is actually a fairly complex area of insurance and very ever-changing, agents who are exempt from continuing education may not be adequately prepared to advise consumers about needed changes in their policy. And additionally, if they have this exemption, they are not legally allowed to sell additional or different coverage to consumers, even if such coverage might be needed. In addition to the consumer protection aspects of the bill, this bill also would bring Oregon in line with national efforts to standardize and streamline agent licensing requirements across the country. And Mr. Chair, out of approximately or more than 14,000 licensed life insurance agents in Oregon, there are currently 48 individuals who hold this exemption. And this bill would propose to grandfather in those individuals, but simply eliminate the exemption from continuing education on a going forward basis. So for the reasons I just described, I would appreciate the support of the committee for this bill, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions of Ms. Miller? think I kept her in my office longer than I probably needed to in this bill.
Me too.
All right. Well, that's good. That's what we're, how we should be doing it. Well, without any further questions, then, I think I'll cut Ms. Miller loose. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I'm going to close public hearing on House Bill 2198. And members, we do have a fiscal impact, and it's very clear, no expenditure impact. So I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2198 and would accept a motion to move it to the floor with due pass recommendation. Representative Esquivel.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 2198 be moved to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Esquivel has moved House Bill 2198 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any questions, concerns, discussion, debate? Is there any opposition to the bill? Well, seeing none, so moved. I am going to assign this to the good Vice Chair, Representative Barton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
He can use his excellent legal skills to explain this complicated insurance bill on the House floor. With that, I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2198. Is there anything for the good of the order? Well, folks, if we move this efficiently this session, we're going to have an easy time of it in this very busy committee. With that, we're adjourned.